Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 17. Exodus chapter 4, the verses 10 through 17. And as a congregation, we've been working our way through the book of Exodus. We've come all the way to chapter 4. Verses 10 through 17. Let us listen as the Word of God is publicly read in our presence. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or dumb? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. But Moses said, O Lord, please send someone else to do it. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, What about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you to speak, and you will teach, and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth, and as if you were God to him. Take this staff in your hand, so you can perform miraculous signs with it. That's the reading of God's word this morning. Moses is out in the wilderness. And this morning we come to the end, the last two questions of his dialogue with God that he is experiencing in the wilderness. At the beginning of chapter 3, Moses is living in the land of Midian with his father-in-law. In chapter 4, verse 18, the verse which just follows what I just read, Moses goes back to Jethro, his father-in-law. Out in the wilderness, God has appeared to Moses. And in this section, in chapter 3 and chapter 4, there is a dialogue that is going on between God and between Moses. God appears to Moses in the burning bush, and Moses responds to God's appearance. God tells Moses that he is to go and to deliver the Israelites and to lead them out of the land of Egypt. And Moses comes up with five different questions. The first question is, Lord, who am I that I should go? And God answers him. The second question that Moses asks is, Lord, who are you? And God answers him. The third question that Moses asks is, if they do not believe me or listen to me, what do I do? And God gives him the signs. But now Moses has another excuse. He has another question for God in verse 10. O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and of tongue. Moses' claim is that he cannot speak. Moses has missed the point in which God is trying to teach him. Moses, for some reason, thinks that the power of God's word is not sufficient enough to convince the Israelites that God loves them and that God is going to save them. Instead, Moses thinks that he has to be an eloquent speaker, that he has to be able to portray the message in such a way that it will grab the attention of the people so that they will pay attention to it, so that they will know and understand it, so that Moses can know that the Lord is speaking through him, that the people will recognize that by his speech that there's something about this word of God which is better, which is greater than anything they've heard before. Moses is not thinking about what God is going to do through him. Moses only reflects on himself. He only reflects on his own abilities, and he decides that his speech is not good enough, and nobody's going to pay attention. Well, the Lord answers Moses in verse 11. Who gave man his mouth? Who made him deaf or dumb? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. God's answer to Moses is, look, Moses, I am the one who has given you your mouth. Look, Moses, I am the one who is speaking the words. Look, Moses, I am the one who opens eyes so that they can see and perceive and understand. I am the one who opens ears so that they can hear, so that they can know and understand the message. Moses, you are just an agent. You are the person I am sending, but I am the God who will give you the words. I will open the ears. I will open the eyes so that the people will see and understand the message. Moses, you are just an agent. Moses doesn't think he can do it. God reminds him that Moses, it is not you who does it. It is me who does it. Moses, as he looks at himself, sees failure. God sees his chosen instrument. You see, Moses has missed the whole point. God has purposely chosen someone who isn't eloquent in speech. God doesn't want the Israelites to be attracted to a super speaker or a dynamic communicator who can grab the attention of the people and who will call all the attention to himself and his own ability to portray the Word of God. God has called someone who isn't able to speak very well. God is telling Moses so that Moses will be sure that it's not what Moses is doing. It's what God is doing through his words. It's what God is doing through the ears of the listeners and through the eyes of the listeners. God enables them to hear and to see. God enables Moses to speak the words. Moses is just an agent. Now, this is one of those passages that quite often is used for ministers when they come and they are being installed as ministers or they are being ordained to preach. And there is a message here that is for preachers, that is for elders, and that is for a congregation. The minister and the elders that God gives you are God's agents. It's not their spectacular gifts. It's not their abilities that you should be attracted to, but it's the message. It's the one that is the agent that delivers the message that you are to listen to, that you are to pay attention to, because God will help those agents to speak what you need and what you need to know. But not only is there a message here for pastors, for elders, for a congregation, but there's also a message here sometimes for parents. Sometimes you'll hear parents say, well, I know that God has called me to teach my children, to help them understand the Word of God, to give them instructions. I know that that's my responsibility as a parent. But I don't feel like I'm eloquent enough. I feel like sometimes I wish someone else could come and could teach them or instruct them because I don't feel like I'm doing a good enough job. Again, God has his agent. He has equipped parents. He has equipped pastors. He has equipped elders with the words that they are to say. They are the agents, and they do the serving, and God does the opening of the eyes and the hearts and the ears of the listeners, of the children, of the congregation. how difficult it is for the minister, for the elder, for the people who forget that God is the one who's doing it, and they take credit for their own self, for their own ministry. Here is a perfect example of what God is going to do through Moses. Moses' latest excuse is, "Lord, I haven't been eloquent. I'm not able to speak." And God says, "It doesn't matter, because I am doing it, and I will do it." But the passage goes on, and Moses, the man of excuses, has another excuse, doesn't he? In verse 13, we read that Moses finally, he runs out of all of his excuses, and he says, "Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it." All throughout this passage, in five different places, Moses has questioned God as to whether he is really the one, as to whether he is really capable of doing it. And after God has answered him in each specific place and told him that he is qualified, that he is the chosen instrument, finally Moses concludes, "Lord, send someone else to do it." Moses does not want to go. Moses is a man of excuses. And this time we read that the Lord responds in anger to Moses' request. Verse 14, "Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, 'What about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you to speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if your mouth and as if you were God to him." God again gives Moses a concession. Now sometimes people will say, "Oh, well, how come God didn't just get mad at Moses and just tell him to go?" Well, God has a purpose in this concession. He is letting Aaron go along with Moses. But in doing this, God is helping Moses understand what it means that he is his instrument, that Moses is the agent who will go and deliver the message. God has said to Moses, "I will put the words in your mouth." Now God is going to show Moses through Aaron what that means. Look at verse 15 again. "You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you to speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if you were, if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him." Moses takes the representation of God. He's not God, but he takes the position as God, as the representative of God, and Aaron does the speaking. But notice where the words are coming from. The words are coming first from God, who are going to Moses, and he takes the words and he gives them to Aaron. And Aaron goes to the people and he speaks to the people. The words have come from God to Moses, to Aaron, to the people. We have here in our text the first example, the first illustration that God is giving us in the Scriptures of the role of a prophet. A prophet of the Lord, as they are described later on in the Old Testament, they are the mouthpiece of God. They speak the very words of God. Moses is the first prophet. And as the people witness Moses and Aaron coming to them, they see what a prophet does. Moses is the representative of God, and Aaron speaks the words that Moses speaks to Aaron from God. And we learn at the end of the chapter that the people are receptive to this. If you look at verse 29, Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, And Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people, and they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them, and that he had seen their mercy, they bowed down and worshipped. As Moses and Aaron together later on came to the people heard and understood the word of God. God opened their eyes, God opened their ears, and God spoke the words. But notice this time as Moses leaves, he does not leave empty-handed. In verse 17 we read that God tells Moses to take this staff in your hand so that you can perform miraculous signs with it. Whose staff is this? Whose staff? Moses, as the shepherd, has come and he is holding his staff. But now the staff becomes changed. Look at the end of verse 20. And he took the staff of God in his hand. The staff that Moses carried is no longer just the same staff he had as the shepherd, but now that staff is God's staff. And as Moses leaves equipped to be the agent of God, to tell the people of the salvation that God is going to give them in rescuing them from the land of Egypt, Moses carries the staff, God's staff. And if you notice in verse 17, the word for the miraculous signs is plural. But take this staff in your hand so that you can perform miraculous signs with it. So far, we've only read about how Moses threw his staff on the ground and it became a snake. But now the scripture is telling us that there are signs he will do with it. The staff that Moses leaves with is the staff which represents the power of God. It is this staff which will be thrown on the ground before Pharaoh and will become a snake and later on will swallow up the snakes of Egypt. It is this staff which Moses will stretch out and the plagues will come upon the land of Egypt as God will begin to free his people. It is this staff which is stretched out over the Red Sea, which parts the waters so the Israelites can go through. It is this staff which Moses uses to strike the rock, which will give them water so that they can drink as they are out in the desert. It is this staff that God gives to Moses so that Moses can know that God is with him, so that it is not Moses and his eloquent speech or Moses himself who is saving Israel. It is God and his power and the power of his staff which saves them, which leads them, which guides them. But as we look at Moses, as we look again at all of his excuses, we can be thankful that Moses is not the true deliverer of Israel. 5 times Moses questions God. The last 2 times Moses asks God about his own abilities. Lord, I cannot speak. And God answers. And finally he says, oh Lord, please send someone else to do it. As the Savior of Israel, Moses doesn't want to be the Savior. He is a man of excuses. And all of this is an indication to us and to the Israelites that Moses is not their final Savior. Later on, God is going to send a Savior who will not have excuses. Moses comes as the Savior of Israel, and he leads them out of Egypt, and he brings them to a promised land. But the people are still here on earth. They are not in the place where they can dwell with God and be with him forever. They need a second Savior. And the second Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come, and He is the true Savior. And He was not a man of excuses. He came to this earth and He lived an obedient life. He came to this earth and God never got angry at Him. He came to this earth and when He spoke the words of God, He opened the eyes of the blind. He opened the ears of those who could not hear so that they could understand the gospel, so that they could see the Messiah. As God went ahead of Moses and opened the ears and the hearts of the people so that they could see Him, God was with His Son, so that the people heard His words, so that the people saw Him as their Lord and as their Savior. And He had no excuses. He did not carry a staff. He didn't need one. He gave orders. He healed with His hands. He healed with His touch. In the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed, "O Lord, if it be Thy will, take this cup from me. But if it not be Thy will, Lord, I will go." He never said, "Lord, send someone else to do it." He was the true Savior. He was and is the final Savior. His message that He brings is a message of salvation. And if you notice in our text, in verse 14, God calls Aaron, Moses' brother, not simply a brother, but Aaron the Levite. Later on, Aaron, as head of the Levites, will become the high priest of Israel. It is Aaron who will bring the sacrifices into the temple and offer the sacrifices for the people. Moses has led them. He functions as a king, as their ruler, as their leader. Moses comes and he is speaking the words of God, which later on go through Aaron, his brother. But Aaron is the high priest. He brings the offerings. He makes the sacrifices. God is going to deliver Israel through two people. They won't become confused that this Moses who can do everything is their final Savior. There are two men that are coming to Israel. Two men who are forerunners. Who are those coming before the Christ, who is one man. Who came as a prophet and spoke God's word. Who came as a king and rules the heavens and this earth. Who came as a priest, who sacrificed himself on the cross, who saved his people, who opens our eyes, who opens our ears so that we can hear, so that we can know, so that we can believe. Our Savior is Christ. We speak His words. We know Him as Lord. We follow Him to the promised land. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for this story of Moses and Aaron. And Lord, as we look at Moses, we see a reluctant Savior. We are thankful, Lord, that You have sent a Savior without excuse. Lord, a Savior who came by His obedience to live and to die and to rise again. And Lord, we thank You that You have opened our hearts and our eyes and our ears to hear and understand His message, that we as His people can know that He has come and delivered us, that we can recognize Him and His words. And Lord, as His people, we pray that we would follow Him as prophet, as priest, and as king, that we would know that He has saved us, that we would know that He brings us to the promised land through the power of His Spirit. Lord, help us as his people to serve him with all of our hearts and all that is in us. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.